The speaker says that the endings are always the best. Oh, that's over. Good. Got through that one. Yeah. There's one wise being in the 19th century who said, made the statement relative to this hideous idea that we're all going to die. As one being, wise being made the statement that death always comes as a deliverer and a friend. The writer of Ecclesiastes would agree. When you're done, you're done. You don't have to do it anymore. But he also says, because this guy contradicts himself, you know, so if you want to rip it apart, you're a rationalist, you know, get in there and rip it apart, it's easy to do. Because he says, he basically says or implies virtually any point of view. So you can get in there and say, well, look, he's contradicting himself here. Okay, good for you. I guess you don't have to listen to any of this then. So he says, in general, endings are better than beginnings. And and the wise bear in mind that there will be endings. He makes some interesting statements. He says, the mind of the wise is turned to the right, and the mind of the fool is turned to the left. So you have to turn the mind to the right to move toward what he calls wisdom. He also makes a very enigmatic statement about trying to understand the inscrutability of God's will. He says it's best to come to understand that you have no ultimate understanding of, quote, God's will. It's best to come to understand this, he says, before the cord is snapped. Before the cord is snapped. So he says ends are better than beginnings, but he also says it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. There's something to be said for being alive. A live dog has something over a dead lion. Many writers since Ecclesiastes have said that we really only become human when we start thinking and start seeing how little we know, and therefore in a certain sense start suffering. Some writers have claimed that that constitutes our being human, that suffering. Trees don't suffer, he says. Only humans. But suffering is the touchstone of wisdom. And Jesus says, and later on in the Bible, woe be unto those who do not suffer. Strange statement, if you come across it. Woe be unto those who do not suffer. Why? Because if you don't suffer, you're probably not going to learn very much. La-di-da, everything's good. La-di-da. Yeah. No suffering, no learning. No real learning. I mean, you might have a PhD, but that's not the kind of learning we're talking about. You can have a PhD and not know you're mortal. I mean, you know what? You know it. Of course, yeah, I'm going to die. You don't really know it. If you really knew it, you'd treat each every day differently. if I really knew I was going to die, not just on paper, not just because someone told me, but if I really somehow got it through my head that I'm going to die, which is pretty damn negative thinking if you ask me, but if I really got that through my head, and then I added to that, and really got through my head that I don't know when, those two things, if I just got those two things through my head. And how do I get them through my head? Thinking about them. Think about them as hard as you can. Can you find a way around them? Just hit them face on. I'm going to die. Is there a way around it? No. Do I know when? I don't know when. Is there a way around that? Well, I know this psychic. Maybe they can tell me when. Maybe. Maybe they'll even tell you. But this guy's not taking anybody's word for anything. So if I really got those two things through my head, he says, I'm going to die and I don't know when, then rather than being a pessimistic outlook, I'm going to start treasuring every moment. So emptiness, the realization of it, the emptiness of our knowledge, the emptiness of our permanence, the emptiness of our day-to-day lives, is actually the more one realizes that, the more full one's life becomes. So it's like a paradox. The more I'm aware of mortality, and the more I'm aware of I don't know when, and the more I'm aware that I don't know what's going on, the happier I become, the freer I become, the more detached I become. As one writer put it, detachment without disengagement is what's advocated in Ecclesiastes. The wise person is detached. Why? Because there's nothing to hang on to. You know, heaven help you if you're hanging on to something, because it's going to change. It's going to go away. Whether it be a person or an idea or a certain age, be detached. But stay involved. And he doesn't say it, but a commentator says it. Don't identify with the part you're playing. You have a part. You want to know what your part is? It's a life. It's your life. It's the life you're living right now. It's not a mystery. I gotta go find my part. Well, apparently, part of your part is looking for your part. A lot of people spend their whole life looking, you know, wondering what to do, wondering what they're going to do when they grow up. So he recommends detachment from the part while remaining involved. The wise person, he says, does not harbor resentments. He says those two are empty. Put it in more modern language, resentments just bring you down. So why would you want to do that? So the wise person doesn't do that. I mean, it's like A equals B equals C. You want to be happy, don't have resentments. The wise man also doesn't ask for anything other than what's going on at the moment, he says. He says, desires and expectations, he says, are also empty.